B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And hour number three of our Super Bowl coverage is brought to you by AdCare, 1-800-ALCOHOL. Here's a story that bugs us. Mike Pennell, remember him?
Sure.
Maybe people don't. Big defensive tackle, sort of run-stuffing, big fella in the middle there, nose tackle type. He played on the Jets. He played on the Packers in the past. He was signed by the Patriots this offseason and sort of was front and center in the depth chart, was thought to be their starting interior defensive tackle, run-stuffing defensive lineman. And he got cut. He got cut in training camp.
And then flashed with Kansas City in the AFC Championship game.
Okay, so cut by New England in the preseason. He goes to Kansas City and is part of a Kansas City defense that is much improved and actually did a decent job stopping Derrick Henry in the second half of that AFC title game and, as you said, flashed.
Yeah, again, so Chris Jones missed, if you remember, the game against Houston. And by the time he got to Tennessee, Chris Jones' snaps were sort of limited. They were managing him a bit. Pennell factored in there a little bit more, and the two of them did a pretty good job. I mean, Pennell was noticeable in that game. You know, they highlighted him on the broadcast, but he was noticeable in that game.
And meanwhile, the Patriots' defense got steadily worse throughout the course of the year, got gashed. But, I mean, here's the irony. You couldn't stop Derrick Henry, and the Kansas City Chiefs did.
And they sucked against the run the whole year.
Woof. Okay, so what's aggravating is that Pennell may have left because of a personality conflict with a true dinkus, Brett Bielema, your defensive line coach. So Pennell was asked last night what happened in Foxborough. Quote, I'll definitely keep the particulars of that to myself, but it was just with how the preseason was going and everything like that, me being a veteran, I kind of knew what was going on with the decreased reps and everything like that. I didn't really understand what was going on and didn't really get any answers. So after that point, it was a little bit of confusion, a little bit of relief when I got cut. But I'm just glad to be somewhere with a lot more transparency. They follow up and say Pennell wouldn't share many specifics about those interactions, but he singled out Brett Bielema, mentioning a, quote, disconnection between something I was doing with the defensive line coach as the reason why his Patriots tenure ended so swiftly. He's fond of the KC staff, which includes former Pats defensive line coach Brandon Daly, and he says he finds them much more accommodating. Quote, it's different when you go up to your coach and talk life and not just football, Pennell said. It's different when you can have a different technique or be able to talk through techniques with your coach. Some places you can do that. Some places you can't. New England wasn't a place to do that, end quote. And this story, I'm reading on Nesson.com, says he wasn't the only one that ran into a personality conflict with Bielema. Remember, the Patriots traded Michael Bennett to the Dallas Cowboys in late October after an argument between Bennett and Bielema resulted in a one-game suspension for Bennett. Remember, this is like, we forgot about all this.
Yeah, I remembered it. Yeah.
I mean, I barely remember Bennett on the team. I barely remember the trade. And I really don't remember that he got suspended a game because he had a blowout with the defensive line coach, who's now, Bielema, by the way, been blown out of here and is now with the Giants.
Right.
So this aggravates you, Murray.
It did. The story pissed me off. Before I was a quarter way through it, and I was like, I bet I know where this is going. Because it's as you're reading it, like hearing it, it's just like the Michael Bennett story. And it's... when I see Pennell pop a couple of weeks ago, when he's making stops against Derrick Henry, in real time, I tweeted him, of course, you know, baby Patriots fans get pissed. I was like, oh, how about that? And I'm thinking, oh, it's another mismanaged asset by Belichick. But no, it's something worse. It's his toady, who shouldn't even have been on the staff. Brett Bielema. Guy's best known for a photo from like 7 or 8 years ago, where he's boobs out, shirts off, and with a beer in his hand, and he's hammered, you know, when he was college coach, wherever the hell he was, Arkansas, whatever the hell it was.
He's done only one good thing. He brought Russell Wilson to Wisconsin on a transfer, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's it. But he's one of Belichick's toadies, and I hate these guys that get these gigs straight out of nepotism, because that's why he was there. And it was a personality conflict between him and Michael Bennett, and clearly with Mike Pennell, because his playing time was decreasing through the preseason, then bang, he was gone. Meanwhile, you have guys that cover the team, like Bedard, saying, oh, this guy's actually going to be a factor in the run-stopping defense for the Patriots this year. And of course, Michael Bennett, even though he's kind of an a-hole, you know how talented he is, you figure, oh, they're going to get a legit pass rush out of him. Both those guys, they didn't work here because of Brett Bielma? Like, that's an underrated storyline in terms of, like, I don't know, this team not achieving what people thought that they would achieve this year, is that this guy was part of the staff when he never should have been.
I agree with Murray. I mean, looking
back, he's a meathead.
Looking back on it now, you say the Patriots really, whenever they played a team that was half decent, the defense wasn't as good as it should have been.
Even Joe Mixon, I mean, he's a nice back, but you're playing the Bengals, and especially in that first half, they're running it right down their throat. And that first drive they had.
And if you examine the defense from level to level, where was the weakness?
The D-line.
Absolutely. And they let two players go because you couldn't get along with the coach, or the coach couldn't get along with them.
Ugh.
So they let Pinnell and Bennett go, and then whenever they played someone good, they couldn't stop the run. Why? Because the defensive coordinator didn't get along with him? Or, you know, defensive line coach, sorry. Like, I look at that and I say, that's brutal, really. I mean, you're chasing away good players now because your coach can't get along with them? What, because he's a buddy of Bill's and he was feeling his oats? When you connect the two, and they're possible to not connect, because they are, they're linked, you look at that and say, so you got a team that's built on defense. The defense is the better unit. And ultimately, it did you win, particularly in the Miami game. And you had two players here that probably could have helped the team, but they ultimately were forced out or left because...
Your bozo assistant coach?
Bad look.
Who sucks?
Bad look. I mean, again, I'd be frustrated by that, too, because, again, they were built to win on defense first.
I don't know how you can't be.
I mean, this whole thing, this myth, this God, this awful Patriot fanboy cliche of no one who ever leaves here does anything. You know, like, you hear it over and over again. It's just so false. It's wrong. It's not true. And this is like a little example that we'll forget really quickly, because he's Mike Pennell, who's he? And he's just some big guy in the middle of the defensive line. He's a run stuffer. He's not like a flashy player. And it's, you know, we're going to forget about this. But it's real. You had this guy. He could have helped you. And you let him go. And now he's having success for your chief rival in the conference, who's on the verge of the Super Bowl. So never mind the quarterback, you know, who's gone on and done good things. It's a whole different kettle of fish. But there's little examples like this. It happens to you. Trust me. The next time someone says, who's ever gone anywhere and done anything? Believe me, there's a list, and Mike Pennell's the last one on it, the most latest one on it.
And yeah. I'll tell you, I hold Bill accountable, too, for Bennett. And I'm sorry, you can sit there and say, well, Bennett wasn't a huge factor. What?
I'm not a huge fan of Bennett. We're going to talk to Michael Bennett tomorrow.
How much money did they give him?
They gave him a good contract.
So this is my point, right? And then, again, you were up against the cap. You didn't have money. You didn't give him that money to come in and be a question mark. At least Pennell was a flyer. Right, that was okay. We'll see what happens.
They gave him a little bit of money. They gave him some sneaky money. Go ahead, keep talking.
Okay, so then even more so. But with Bennett, that wasn't you get a guy like that who has a track record, and then you bring him in and tell him to change after you give him money? What are you, stupid?
And I know chain of command, but if I'm Bennett, it was what I had accomplished, and he's coming off a good season with the Eagles, too, that year prior. I come in, and I got to now answer to Brett Bielma. I'd be like, who the hell are you? I'll answer to Bill, but you? Out of my face. Like, and that's, and the people, hey, feel how you want. And I know a lot of people are already chirping, like, oh, where's your rings then, Pennell? Oh, just going to be another bum. And, like, chirping like they did to Jason Kelsey of the Eagles. Like, oh, where's your fun? I don't know. I don't know how you don't read this and not be a little bit pissed off.
But, and it's not just fun. You know, he talks about, you know, different techniques and talking to your coach about your different techniques and working your way through it. Is there a middle ground here about the way I've always done it and the way you want me to do it? Can we find and can we work together to find a happy medium here?
Yeah, can we have an open dialogue?
Because I'm comfortable doing this. And apparently Bielma just told him to shut the F up and do it this way or you're done.
Ugh.
And it caused two viable defensive linemen. And again, I'm going to be careful with Michael Bennett because I've never really been a huge fan of his. But he's an impact player, and it causes two of those guys to bolt.
I bet you they're connected too. I bet you that the same thing started happening with Bennett that happened with Pennell. With Pennell. And
is it Pennell or Pennell?
So I was told it was Pennell, but
fine,
whatever.
Go ahead.
And that Bennett probably said to him, "What are you going to start giving me the same crap you gave to him? You know, I'll kick your ass the same way he threatened to." And then there you go. See you later. You're done for a week, and now you're out of here. Like I don't know. You don't bring in a guy like that. And then all of a sudden tell him to completely change. You got to know what he is when you bring him in and he has that kind of contract.
Okay, so there's a story that pissed us off. How about you? 617-779-985. Here's Jeff in Dorchester with a take. Go ahead, Jeff.
So as we all know, the NFL is in the business of making money. And I was hoping to get your guys' take on this conflicting report that came out about the past Dolphins game down in Mexico City and how it may relate to the NFL kind of wanting to take a step back and on a primetime game like this until the Brady decision is made. so they can kind of maximize profits of this Brady-Belichick bowl that will happen if he ends up jumping ship.
Oh, so if Brady goes to Miami, I wouldn't put that in Mexico City. I'd change that. I'd make sure we're on a real stadium, on a real playing surface, where we know the lights are going to work, and nothing's going to be unplugged.
And the turf's going to be okay.
And no one's going to get Montezuma's revenge, and et cetera, et cetera. Like, I mean, I'm all for going to Mexico City and playing games in Mexico City. It should be kind of a throwaway game, you
that's
know?
What
like
I
some
think.
Of those London games, like yeah. Put Jacksonville out there or whatever. I mean, that's what those games should be. They shouldn't be your marquee matchups. But let me just say this. I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, you want Miami Patriots in Mexico City. You don't win in Miami. I mean, that's a tough spot for you. If you make that neutral site game, you've got a better chance.
Yeah, it's true.
And if Miami's catching up to you and you're falling closer to the pack, I mean, hell, when you were great, Miami sucked. You still couldn't win in Miami every year consistently. If you take it out of Miami and put it in Mexico City, that's a win for you. You should want it in Mexico City.
Yeah, 2019, they couldn't win in Foxborough. Like they, so, I mean, always, Miami's always been trouble down there.
I'm just
always.
Saying. I mean, like, you know, I know people, oh, go to Mexico, we'll go to Mexico. You actually want it in Mexico. And I, you know, and screw Zoe and all these guys that got a trap. You know? It's better for the team. You'd rather have it in Mexico than Miami.
Zoe plus Mexico City equals danger.
John in the car. Go ahead, John.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hey, hi. Yeah, the Patriots motto this year should be the 2019 Patriots, the season lost. Anyways, Mike, we're national media, local media, everybody's talking about where Tom may end up. But what no one's talking about is what is he looking for? What do you think, Mike, he's looking for? The most money, the most years, a climate Giselle likes, a team that gives him the best chance to showcase his talents, a Super Bowl? What do you think he's looking for? Because somebody that takes the ridiculous... Because they're not really, in my opinion, what he's looking for.
So what do you think he's looking
for? What's
your
belief, Mike?
I mean, go ahead.
Well, then you're going to poo-poo my answer, but I believe that he's looking for a team that's going to give him the best chance to showcase his talents to get rid of last year's stench. That's what I think he's looking for. And if that leads to a Super Bowl, that's great.
I think that's fair. I think that's high on the list. I think the number one thing he wants is a contract. Okay? And so notice I didn't say money.
The years are the most important thing.
Because I'm with these guys. It's not pure money, but that would help. So a contract that pays him a lot and is structured as such that pays him as one of the elite guys in the league, a deserving contract for a deserving guy. So what does that mean? You know, we can discuss further if you like. But I think the number one thing for him is a committed franchise, and that begins with the contract. And then I think the second thing that he wants... And it ties into the first thing is he wants to prove himself at this level and to enhance the TB12 mystique and brand. So that doesn't mean he has to win a Super Bowl. He doesn't need to go to a Super Bowl favorite because he got six of those. But he does have to play at a high level. So that's the caller saying. And what I meant to say is it doesn't tie into the contract. It ties into what the caller said. So I think those two things have to line up. And then third, it's got to be a market that makes sense for he and his family. And I think it gives you a big difference whether that family's together or they're leading separate lives. And if he's going to be just sort of cruising it on weekends anyway, then he could go play anywhere. And that really opens it up for him. I look at Vegas as a serious destination if he and G are leading separate lives. If they're together, then that changes things. So I think those three things. I think those three things. But it starts with the contract.
So, look, to me, no question, the commitment is critical.
But it's got to be a good team. Like, if Jacksonville offers him an amazing contract, he's not going to Jacksonville.
Well, so, and as you said that, I started thinking about the comment that Tony Romo made in that game against Tennessee when he said, he's got a lot of good football left in him. He needs help.
Yeah.
He needs help. And so, if you factor that in...
It's got to be the right contract in the right place. He's not going to Timbuktu.
Which is why, again, I come back to the Chargers, even over the Raiders. Like, I look at the Chargers and go, he's got help there. They've got players.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they've got players. Now, again, the coach, different issue, but if I were the Chargers, I would also blow out Anthony Lynn and bring in Josh McDaniels with Brady.
Rumors flying about where Brady has been looking at real estate, where he's living, and is this a tell about where he's going? These guys think he's gone. I think we all think he's gone. And is the real estate shopping a tell? The very latest on that, we had some developments on that today. You'll hear that coming up next on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Convention Center, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Well, why don't I tell you what I know?
Okay.
They don't have a house in Connecticut. That's it.
So it's hard to move to your house in Connecticut.
You don't have one. They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Join the club.
It's something that I was told a few weeks ago. I never had an occasion to really to share it because it was, you know, a lot going on with the football games. And when you go, hey, Tom Brady has no house in Connecticut. But then today I circled back. I said, all right, so there's no house. No, with someone else. Okay, is there a condo and I'm getting the semantic?
You're trying to get the small print to see if you're getting tripped up there. No,
there's a very large apartment that the family has in New York City.
Which they've had.
And there's a home in Brooklyn.
Right.
What if he wants to go to L.A. not because of the football, because he wants to launch TB12 in L.A. and make TB12?
Well, why did he buy the house in Greenwich, Connecticut then?
Do we know that he did?
I lived in it. Don't forget. That's right.
I know. So what are your sources?
Everybody seems to think that he had a lot of rumors that, you know, he was at Brunswick School, looking at Brunswick School in Greenwich as far as kids. So why would he move to Greenwich with his three young kids and yet play in L.A.?
I love this.
But this Greenwich thing for us has gone on for a long time because we've heard this for, and who knows?
Again, where's Brady living? Where's G and the kids? I think this is all, again, if we're playing this game, trying to piece it together, solve the riddle, where is he going? I think this stuff is a tell. I don't know exactly what it means. I just know it means something. So, again, Tom Curran, that was the first cut you heard from last week, adamant, or maybe the week before, the last couple of weeks here. Tom Curran, adamant, according to his sources, there's no house in Connecticut. No house in Connecticut. Mad Dog Russo, who lives in that neighborhood in Connecticut, says, he's in Connecticut. And have a New Brunswick school. Like, you know, even knows the school.
I heard about it in the outside of town.
I live in Schofield County.
I know.
So, you know, Mad Dog, who's, so he's not getting that from the hot take artist in sports. He's getting that at the grocery store. Then, you know, not what about Brady? So there's that.
The corner.
So, and then the Mike Giardi report. Mike Giardi. On Twitter this morning or overnight, I don't remember when it was, last night, recently, here in the last 12 hours, Mike Giardi, NFL Network, tweets, for those of you who follow the real estate, and I do, I'm that guy, I follow the real estate.
He wrote that tweet to you.
Thank you, Mikey. He says, Tom Brady and family are currently holed up in Manhattan. In fact, Super G and the kids... I love that he says it's Super G.
That is so awesome. I'm taking credit for that part.
In fact, Super G and the kids took up the space before the season ended, and Tom joined them after. The house in Brookline remains unsold. And I'm just going to add parenthetically, the implication is remains unsold and empty or unlived in. How much do you have to effing hate Brookline and Boston to yank your kids out of school with a semester to go? Like, those kids have been in those schools wherever they go or they went. Like, the British school, is that where they went? Or somewhere right around there. They're all, you know, they're in school. They have their friends. They have their sports. They've been there now for their whole lives.
That just goes to show you how...
They've been there their whole lives.
Oh, yeah, she hated it here.
Gee, you did January, February, March, you know, 5 months... Let the kids finish school.
It's 5 months too long with these uncultured slobs.
You know, you have massive vacation breaks. You can go when you want. It's private school. Like, you couldn't just hold your water for a couple months, let the kids finish. You hate it. You hate it that much.
Yeah, I think she does.
That you had to get you the first chance you got, you hit the first train out of town. Like, God, is it that bad?
Yep. Yep, to her it is.
Yeah, when you hate a place bad enough, but yeah, you do anything to get that out of there as quickly as you possibly can.
I do. I love putting the pieces together when stuff like this happens. So they moved out before the end of the season. He played great in the Buffalo game. They probably bolted that week. Like, he's like, oh, thank God they're out of here. All of a sudden, his head's clear. He goes out there, and he looks like a 31-year-old Tom Brady. Right out loud. He looks absolutely sensational. Like, and she couldn't get out of Dodge fast enough. Plus, private school, holidays, they probably had a two-week break. If you're going to, like...
Definitely.
Right, so if you're going to change schools in the middle of the year, that's the time to do it. That is absolutely the time to do it. I believe that. I totally believe that Giardi story. Okay. She couldn't get out of here fast enough.
So they are out. Boy, does she hate it here. Giselle, it's not that bad. I mean, it's not that bad.
Oh, for her it is.
Yeah, but if you're as worldly and cultured as she is, I can understand if she looks around in Massachusetts or in that area and it's like, there's no culture here. Everyone looks the same. The weather's terrible. At least go to New York where the weather's still terrible, but at least there's culture and diversity. I'm out. Deuces.
It builds character, G.
She got one look at Route 1, Saugus, and said, I'm out of here.
Why do you think she lives in Brookline?
It builds character. Next thing you know, she's going to be wearing sweatpants and about 40 pounds heavier.
Why was today so wonderful for us? Because we're used to the crap back in Boston. That's it. The whole thing. When you live in bad weather, you appreciate good weather.
Of course.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah, absolutely am I. Yeah. But she doesn't. She's like, this. It's the other way. She grew up in good weather, and she got up here, and she goes, this sucks.
And I don't believe
it. What am I doing here?
I don't believe
it. Get me out of here.
That's a Felger fallacy, too. If you had 75 degrees every day, you wouldn't appreciate it. I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, please.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, but see, you're missing the point, because you grew up in cold weather.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Trust me, I know a million people from Florida and California, and it's a nice, beautiful, sunny day, and they're like, meh, what are we going to do? And they sit inside.
Oh, that's what I want. I just want to be lazy and bronze. that's the dream.
But New York ain't no picnic either, and she wants to move there weather-wise. I don't think it's weather. I don't think it's totally weather-related. But either way, boy, it shows you how much they hate it.
It's not big enough for her again.
That's it. It's not weather-related.
She wouldn't wipe her feet or her backside with the city of Boston.
Meanwhile, we had Brandon Lang. Again, Matthew McConaughey played him in the movie. The Las Vegas tout.
It's bad casting, by the way.
We have on every year. We have him on. He had this doozy when he came and joined us in the 2 o'clock hour. Jimmy, can you play that one, please?
First, I want you to handicap Brady's next landing spot.
Exactly.
It's one of two places. It's San Diego or LA. It's San Diego or Vegas.
You don't think
the Patriots are out?
You think the Patriots are out?
No, I'm saying if he doesn't go to the Patriots.
Oh.
Word on the street is he bought a home in Vegas.
Okay.
Really?
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Yes. Stand by.
Word is he bought property in Vegas. That's what my friends in real estate. I live in Vegas. He was there for the fight. Word is he bought property or he inquired about buying property, but that's what I heard. It's not validated or documented, but he made some inquiries about some property.
Okay, well, that's clearly all we need. Boy, did we get excited.
Oh, really?
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay, stand by.
Talk about blood flow.
Oh, my God. We basically ripped our pants off and slapped it on the table.
We were
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay, stand by.
20 years of imprisonment and it's having a woman in front of you for the first time in 20 years. Oh,
so I do, you know, Brandon went from he bought property in Vegas to inquired about it. Big difference.
Well, he's a Vegas guy. He can't trust anything.
He's asking some real estate agent, yeah, you know, what do you guys got around here versus actually buying it. I mean, that's a huge gap there. But I'll take it either way, Brandon. I'll take it.
Okay. Really?
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay, yes. Stand by. I take everything at face value. And I think, you know, I can see if Brady and G are living separate lives, okay? And I think this is a big part of the story. Giselle wants to still live in New York, okay? So she's got Connecticut, New York. He's Vegas, and he just goes back and forth. I can see him being solo in Vegas. I can't see him with his family in Vegas. I can see him solo in Vegas. I can see him solo in a lot of places.
No, it makes perfect sense.
And so I think all these things could be true. All of them could be true.
No question. Again, you know, we're not talking about normal people here with normal means. They could have places wherever they want, given the type of money they're talking about. So she wanted out of here, man. She wanted out of here so fast to freaking make your head spin.
Okay, meanwhile, it's been breaking Patriots news today. You'll hear it here in the update. We come back and discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Naz are live from the Miami Convention Center. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maz here from Super Bowl 54 in the Miami Beach Convention Center. Felger and Maz is presented to you by DraftKings. This hour of our program is brought to you by AdCare, 1-800-ALCOHOL. And joining us now in the Apex Entertainment guest chair is our next guest.
I'm posing for pictures.
Okay. Yeah, you can hear him on
for your social media, though.
NBC Sports Boston with Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. Longtime friend of the Patriots and Patriot fans.
Oh, Boston fans love me, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they your favorite?
Chris Sims, join us.
What's
here.
What's crazy is I love them. I'll continue to say that. It's my favorite fan base, and it was my favorite city to ever live in. So.
You're saying that sarcastically?
No, I'm not. I'm telling you.
Have you smoothed things over with the Patriots fans yet?
Well, no, probably not. We'll see how this interview goes.
Well, where do you got Brady? Where do you got Brady in your top 10?
Well, see, there we go.
Is he in your top 10?
No, he probably would not be. If I had to restart a 2020 quarterback ranking right now, listen, I'm sure NBC will ask me to do one here soon enough. But no, as of right now, I would probably say not. And, again, I don't know. I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I think the world of Tom Brady. I really do.
Still?
I do. I do. I respect so much about him, not only as the player, but the professional, the way he handles himself, the person he is.
Okay,
the person I saw today.
Yeah, enough of that. Yeah. If you could only have one guy for the next 3 years.
Right.
Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo, who would you have? 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Garoppolo. I am. Yeah, I hear you there. Now, Garoppolo, listen, there's questions about his game right now, too. Now, I think people are making a little bit too big of a deal about it. But, the big thing is, to me, with Brady and just my evaluation there, right, Brady still got a real good arm, can make all the throws. The thing that I always look at is maybe reluctancy in the pocket at times. And I think we've had this conversation before about, what do you look for when you feel like a quarterback might be coming towards the end or coming down that last, ski slope there, whatever you want to say. I think there's moments where if I sat down to watch film with you guys the last 4 or 5 games of the year, I'd go, look, there's a guy he's going to be open, right? But the pocket's kind of collapsing, and he just goes for a short, let me check it down to the back. Let me do this. And listen, I understand. He's 42. He's trying to survive. He's playing the game. I get that. But those are the little maybe cracks in the armor, I say.
So if you were a team who needed a quarterback.
Yeah.
If you were a team who had a young quarterback who wasn't quite ready.
Yeah.
Would you go after Tom Brady 2 years, $60 million, 3 years, $90 million? Would you do something like that?
Yeah, I would certainly think about it. Like, if you're like the Miami Dolphins right now, right? Let's just say we don't think they're going to re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick and Steven Ross, who's a Michigan guy, loves Tom Brady. We know that. He wants to jumpstart the fans around here, the area. He knows he's not going to get Joe Burrow at number one, right? To me, a play I would think about would go, this kid from Oregon, Justin Herbert, has really superstar-type talent. He's a little raw. He's been in a crappy offense up in Oregon. Brady or somebody of that mold that you're speaking of would be perfect. Be able to teach him to play, yet keep the fan base rabid, bring tickets in that way, do all that. Now, listen, do what I worry about the results and maybe what they look like in year two when, Tom is 44? Yeah, I would, but I think you're doing it more than just his performance on the field for that type of thing with Tom Brady.
I mean, aren't there a few teams out there like that? Like you cite Miami. The Chargers have the sixth pick.
Definitely.
Yeah, what about Vegas?
I don't know. John Gruden, I know, loves Brady. I mean, we used to watch Brady film when I was playing, back then. Only thing I have a question with Brady and Gruden is Gruden likes mobile quarterbacks at times, so I just wonder that. But I do think, I hear what you're saying. Plus, you know, I do hear this from people around Tom about the growing the brand of TB12 and things like that. You know, you're not going to grow that brand and, like, have people latch onto it, you know, in middle America. Sorry to middle America. My family's from there. I'm so disrespect. But, you know, those things, lifestyle things, are more apt to blow up in L.A.,
coast,
Miami.
Southern coast.
Yeah, people with less clothes on who want to look good. I mean, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Could Dallas be an outlier here still, or are they going to get it done with Dak?
No, I think they get it done with Dak, yeah. I think Dak, you know, has proven he's a franchise quarterback. You know, do I think Dak is one of the five best in the game? No, but I think he's probably that next tier down. And, you know, like a Brady or whatever, I think Dak's proven, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but he is a leader. He's stable. He's tough. He brings a little bit of that to their football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make up. To make you feel good about being like, okay, that's our quarterback. We got a chance to win with him in the huddle and being the man in the locker room and being the man on the field.
Chris Sims joining us here on Radio Row. Chris, so handicap it. Where do you think Tom Brady ends up?
I'm going to say New England. I am. I do. I don't want to see him anywhere else.
Why?
Because I like Tom Brady in New England. And I, you know, like I said, I know people think I don't, but I'm a traditionalist that way. To me, he's such a... just a fabric of the makeup of what the New England Patriots are. I mean, he's Boston sports to me in so many ways. And I also look at it and just go, I mean, crap. The Patriots aren't far off. Why do you want to go somewhere else? McDaniels is going to be back, so that's good. And, you know, you get another receiver, and, you know, maybe they tweak the O-line and one other guy in the defense, and you go, we could be here at Super Bowl 55, and it could be them again. I mean, I just that's, I guess, the reason. I just if I'm Tom, I'm going, man, you sure you really want to go somewhere?
So that's what you want. You know, yeah. What do you hear in Florio? You know, Florio's a good rumor monger. You talk to people. You hear what's the undercurrent? What do you think?
The undercurrent is
what are the insiders?
Okay. The insiders say, right? I think the undercurrent is that Brady's not afraid to leave town. He's not afraid. I think he's willing to do that. I think that, you know, the undercurrent tells me that Belichick is ready to move on, but I think we'll let it be if the price is right to where he goes, okay, yeah, you can come back, but you can't ruin our team for 2 years after it just because of the one-year contract. Is Tom going to be willing to do that? I don't know. You know, I don't know. So that's kind of the undercurrent right now. And I do think a lot of people, including myself, like I just said, when Josh didn't get one of those five jobs, I thought right away, the first thing I thought of is I think that increases Brady's chance of coming back to New England.
Okay, so you just said, though, Belichick ready to move on, Tom not afraid to leave.
Yeah.
The deal's going to be right.
Yeah, right.
So one side's going to have to blink.
I think so. You're right.
Who's more likely to blink?
I think... You know, because the X factor.
Come on! You have an answer. No, you have an answer. You're holding back.
Well, the X factor is Mr. Kraft,
yes.
Right? So he's such a. So if you're asking me who would blink between Belichick and Brady, I'm going to say Brady, because I think Brady can also just look at it and go, okay. Yep, I'm not going to make $30 million. I'm getting lowballed by New England one more time, and I'm going to take $20 million, but. I got a chance to win a Super Bowl and do that and then win seven and outdo Jordan with rings and just be the absolute freaking man in American sports. So I guess I look at where I know Bill's just like a cog in the machine. You guys know that. It's just like the player's worth 4 cents. I'm not giving 5 cents. We're on to Cincinnati. You know, I mean, that's just the way Bill is.
All right, Chris, give me your thoughts on this game.
I'm pumped for the game. I guess what I would say here is I do think San Francisco is the better all-around football team. Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But yeah. The last few weeks of the season into the playoffs, I mean, hey, he took some of those games over by himself. Now, Kansas City's defense is better. I think they can slow down San Francisco's run game to a degree. The game comes down to this to me. You know, the 49ers have not seen a guy like Mahomes all year long. Mahomes has not seen a defensive front four like this. I really think a little bit like Super Bowl 42, like the Giants' front four's got to get there so they don't have to commit. I think that's very real with this, and I think their front four can get there. I think Mahomes makes his plays. But, man, this Bosa, D Ford, the two Oregon tree trunks in the middle, Armstead and DeForest Buckner, it's a special group. I think they'll corral him enough to win the football game like 31-28, maybe 38-35, something like that. I do expect points to be scored.
Okay. Quickly, yeah. you were for 1 year a Patriots ball boy, right?
I was above a ball boy, but I mean, quality control.
So quality
control, right? Which, okay, I don't know. Maybe that's below a ball boy. I don't know.
Well, I say that because I remember
you
were friendly with John Jastrzemski and the Birdman, right?
I was friendly with them. I was down there a lot. I hung out with them.
So we haven't heard from...
Nobody has.
So this is my question. You heard from them?
No. I mean, we found Saddam Hussein in a hole in Iraq. We can't find these guys.
Exactly.
You know, so, was always part of my thing. That's think, you know, again, I don't even want to go there.
I do.
Yeah, but, yeah, I just, from some of those things, that's why I always thought Tom was guilty. I did, yeah. I just, a few of the things that lined up to me, I just looked at it and thought Tom was guilty of that. Now, did it matter in the big picture of things? No, not necessarily. I know we've had this conversation. 2 weeks later, he went out in Super Bowl 49. The balls were properly inflated, and he threw missiles all over the field against one of the best defenses we saw in the 2010 decade, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, like, look at it like where I go, oh, Tom Brady wouldn't be Tom Brady if he hadn't took an error to the footballs. No, I think Tom went through a rough patch of throwing footballs, and he was just looking at a way to kind of improve himself as a downfield accurate thrower. And just lost his way for a short time being. That's all I would say about that.
I didn't mean to go full deflate.
No.
I just knew you knew Jastrzemski. I was curious if we touch base.
I was always a guy where I liked hanging out in the ball boy room, right, and doing that. Always, as even as a player. And then when I was there, you know, there's only so many sane people in the Patriots building. And I felt like that area was one of them. So I'd always go, let me escape the crazy guys and go down here and hang out with them and the video guys. That's where I would try to... escape to every
Those
now and then.
Two pretty important rooms for the Patriots. Chris, we'll leave
them
now.
Sure.
Chris, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next.
Younger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass are live from Radio Row on South Beach in Miami. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Would this be the last breaking point where Kraft steps in and says, you're keeping him, Bill?
You know, and then, I would hope so. I mean, who's your backup?
Jared Stidham.
Stidham.
Kid from Auburn.
Okay.
Rookie.
Right.
$600,000.
That's right. You know what? $600,000. That's right. What we've been saying. But not that succinctly for a long time.
That's my point.
What else are you going to do?
Then who are you going to draft? Exactly.
Justin Herbert.
You're going to get Philip Rivers to come over? I mean, what are you going to do?
No, you
get Tom.
With people on saying Marcus Mariota. Like, we're going to replace him with Mariota. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It goes against...
You would sit on every route, wouldn't you?
I mean, listen, I respect all players, and I respect Mariota
for
what he's had now. But, you know, I got to respect Mariota to a certain point. He is a tremendous athlete, but he's not a tremendous quarterback. Would he be that fit for New England? Come on, guys.
So that's Rod Woodson. You heard it both in the promo and just there. He did a good spot with Beadle and Zoe earlier today. You can catch the full interview on 98.5thesportshub.com, the app. And Maz, that exchange is the exact reason why Belichick never wanted to move on from Garoppolo. He never wanted to be in this spot. He never wants to be in this spot with any of his players, and he hardly ever is, where they hold you hostage. And to some degree, Brady holds them hostage because they don't have a guy. And there's been so many times throughout history where Bill has leveraged a guy out of town. But he always had, and he leveraged him because he had someone else. Warren Moloy, here's Rodney Harrison. Malcolm Butler, here's Stephon Gilmore. And those are just the two most, you know, prime examples. But Bill's done this his entire career. And he did it to Brady. He announced it the day that he hired, that he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo.
No question.
Announced it. And so this is what, and this is the most important and expensive position on the entire roster. And so Bill never wanted to be in this spot where he was beholden to the superstar quarterback and his whims and, you know, because it's just, and I'm sure that more than anything drives Belichick nuts. Not necessarily that he lost Garoppolo, That bothers him enough. But he lost his leverage.
He didn't have a fallback.
He lost control of the situation. If Belichick had Garoppolo now, or someone who was that ready, their position's totally different.
Totally. Yeah.
And so it's like, I bet that aggravates Bill more than anything.
So I have to believe, there's no question it does. The guy's a control freak, and you hit the heart of it. It's about controlling it, having the leverage and being in control of it. And they're not right now, unless Bill's got something up his sleeve that we don't know about. So, like, I haven't looked at Andy Dalton's contract status. Well, and I'm
keep
just,
going back to okay, Andy Dalton.
So I'm just bringing him up because
he
of
makes
all
like
the,
$15 million, I think.
Okay, because of all the guys that are out there, like if it's Mariota, if it's Jameis Winston, you know, Andy Dalton to me, or someone like A.J. McCarron along with Stidham, right?
Dalton next year is 17 and a half, okay?
And is that the last year?
Yeah, and none of it's guaranteed, as far as I can tell. I don't think it's guaranteed. I think it's pure base salary. I think that the signing bonus stuff is done. There's a little workout bonus, but that's about it. So you can cut him. Doesn't feel like there's anything due to you if you cut him. And I'll keep picking my way through it, but I don't think you can. I don't think there's any damage if you cut him.
Okay, but you got to give up something to get him.
But let me tell you this. There's no way that Andy Dalton pays for 17 and a half for the Patriots. Okay, so they're going to say, Andy, if you want to come in and play for us and start, you're going to have to cut that number in half.
It's 10.
Right, or it's 10 or less. You know, there's no way we're going to give you that money. You're going to have to take a cut. You'll have the job, and you'll get to play for the Patriots, but it ain't for that number.
Okay, so but this is my point because it's all connected. Bill's going to have to line something up where he knows he's got the best offer and he's got Dalton in the back. And if he's going to redo the contract and Dalton agrees to it, then he's going to have to give up a higher draft pick than he might otherwise want to give up. Right? I'm just trying to think this out. So if Bill is Bill, he'll get this trade nailed. And he'll make sure that he outbids other teams to get him.
This is why I told you. My sneaky new prediction. It's not so sneaky. The Pats are going to trade for a guy before the Brady decision comes down the pike.
And have it in the hopper.
And have it in their back pocket. You can't announce till the league year starts on March 18th, but you can come to terms and get it out there. Like the
Joe Flacco last year.
Flacco last year with the Broncos. That happened in February, but they couldn't file the paperwork till March 18th or whenever the league year started. But do the same thing. Work out the trade now. And so you have that against Brady. It's just...
You can't do that.
Why not?
It'll force him. Brady will... With two middle fingers in the air. Oh, you're going to bring in this bum? Well, I'm out.
You don't
see it. Whatever negotiating that you thought you were going to have with me, go screw. Now you've set it in stone.
Not so sure of that.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's going to be suitors, and I think that would set a bad precedent.
First of all, you don't let anybody know it, that you've done it.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, you know, you let Brady know it because there's your leverage.
Okay, but again, well, so you can let Brady know it at the table. I see what you're saying. But, you know, at the end of the day, I told you, I don't think they want Brady back. I don't think they care if he's pissed
and
off.
And if you just let Brady know, guess what? It's getting leaked by Brady. Because I'm starting to think that a lot of this stuff that is getting leaked, the moving, you know, stuff that Giardi's heard, I think it's coming from Tom and Giselle.
Okay, so that's a big topic today, as it is all week. I'm sorry. For us, this is the coming to the head of a lot of quarterback and Tom Brady rumors. That's what this week is about. And it's what a lot of people are talking about, especially when they sit here and talk to us. So we've got a bunch of different developments today between, you know, Brandon Lang in Vegas saying he heard that when Brady was out there seeing that fight, he inquired about real estate in Vegas.
Okay.
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay, yeah. Stand by. Mad Dog Russo saying he heard Brady in the Blazing Grudge and the New Brunswick school. He's got the kids already, the school that they're going to. Mike Giardi tweeted in the last 12 hours that for those of you following the real estate, Giselle, Super G, and the kids are already out. They're in Manhattan right now as we speak. Brady joined him right after the season ended. The Brookline house is still on the market, and they're out of it. Okay, so that's on the table. All these things swirling. Then the Jay Glazer stuff with the and you'll hear it here coming up. The Chargers have moved on from Rivers. The Saints are holding a spot for Drew Brees, but he may retire. And then there's further reporting today by Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, that the Saints view Taysom Hill as a franchise quarterback. They want Brees to come back for just 1 year. To help work Taysom Hill in. Hill's going to get more time next year. He's going to get more of the offense. Brees will be here to still start and sort of work his way in and mentor him. But that's all they want Brees for. Now Brees is deciding whether he wants that role or not. Brees has said he's not going to go anywhere else. So he's not competition for Brady to go to Vegas. He's not competition for Brady to go to the Chargers. feels like some dominoes are falling and things are opening for Tom to go to one of those two spots, Vegas or L.A. So all that's on the table. We have no more guests scheduled today, so we'll go right to your phones after Murray's update, where there was breaking Patriots news today. That's also on the table. The breaking news here, then right back to you. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.